If you all turn your Bibles, just, you know, this is a brand new year. We like to start off on a good footing. And last time I was preaching on a Sunday morning, I taught about prayer, and we've been doing that for quite a while. And so what I would like to do is teach you the structure, how to structure your prayer so that you have a mentality of a certain kind of structure so that you'll follow it and you'll have a sort of a rhyme and a reason when you go to prayer. You have a plan. And you know what to pray for when you go there, and you know what to look for, and you're not just like a hit and miss, and see if God will talk to you, or to see if you have some good ideas. But I believe God is a God of order, and the Bible says He is. In 1 Corinthians 14, He's a God of order. He's a God of plan. He plans things, and He wants us to have a plan. He wants us to know the plan. And so, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, let's put it up there. I do have it here, but I just thought about the scripture this morning as I was in prayer. Jeremiah 29, 11, and let's look at, maybe just, let's get to King James, and let's go to the New Living as well, so that everybody will be satisfied with those two versions of the Bible. And then we're going to look at this. Here's Jeremiah 29:11, and you have to appreciate the time the prophet is talking to the people there. These people were in bondage in Babylon. They're under a hard master because of their sins, because of their disobedience to God. The people of God went into captivity. How many people know that if you're born again, you can go into captivity too? You can be if you follow your own ways, if you're born again, spirit-filled, spoke with tongues, you can go right back into the same mess you were in before. First Peter says, when a Christian becomes a born again and he goes back to the old way of life, it says he's like a dog that goes back to his vomit. A pig that's all washed up goes back into the dirt. That's what the Bible says in First Peter. I guess you got that from Proverbs. But you can get all messed up again. God can clean you up. And I think my friend Sterling reminded me of something the other day. I think he reminded me of the person who was swept in garnish. Remember the scripture? I think somebody told me that. I can't remember. About, you know, when the demon is cast out of a person, Jesus talked about he's all cleaned up. And he's swept. His life is all swept up and clean. And he doesn't do anything with his life. He doesn't protect himself. He goes right back and carelessly the way he did before. And those demons come back and look for him, and they find him swept and garnished. He hasn't protected himself. He hasn't really built his life in a way that would be preventative from him going back out there. And so they go right back into him. The Bible says that man is worse state than he was before because he brings more demons there, more wicked than himself. And so anyway, these people here, and Jeremiah, they were in captivity, and they went there because, because of their sin. And if we live, any way we want to and do what we want to do, we can get into trouble. So here's the prophet that's giving them a word, and he tells them, go live in that city, go live in there, wherever the Lord brings you, and pray for that city. Pray for those people. They were not, godly people. Pray for them. Believe God. And I believe this is a sign for us. We should pray for people who don't know God. They need our prayer. Leaders need our prayer. So we pray for them. And so he says this to those people that were in captivity. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's go ahead and read that in the New Living Translation to give us a little bit more clarity on the words that we use every day. For I know the plans. Everybody say plans. Plan. See, God has a plan for every one of us. He has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
So He has a plan and for this city, for this whole area. God has a plan for everything. He said, I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster. So anything that's bad going on in your life, God never planned it. He never planned anything to happen to you. He didn't plan you to be sick. He didn't plan for your kids to have any difficulties. He didn't plan COVID. He didn't plan for you to lose your job. He didn't plan for you to have, whatever bad situation in your life. So he didn't say, not for disaster. The Bible says that thief comes, but to kill, to steal, destroy. He says, not for disaster. So if there's any stealing going on in your life, any misery, any death going on, any destruction, the devil is doing it. So that's what he says, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So all of us, we have something forward to look for. We could always believe this. The scripture says plans for good. A good future. A good hope. This is what we should be believing for. We have to believe. We got to believe this. Take it to heart. I want to use the scripture. I use the scripture in conjunction with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's go ahead and read that in the Amplified Bible. I want you to see something here, because God has a plan for every one of us. So this is a brand new year. And we need to start together. I believe we are. And is that 2:10? Is it Ephesians 2:10 or Philippians? I think it's Philippians 2. Is it Ephesians? Ephesians 2:10? Was that the right scripture? So Ephesians 2:10. Okay, so it says, For we are on God's handiwork, His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus. Now we're born again, we're recreated in Christ. Born anew that we should do those good works. Everybody say good works. So God has something good for us to do. Each person here, there's nobody left out. We're all in this. God has something good for us to do. Which He predestined or planned beforehand. The Bible said even before you're born again or born into this world. Taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. Now let's stop for here for a second. Let's meditate this for a second. Do you think some people just make their own plans? And just go ahead and just never mind God. And just, I'm going to plan this. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to become, a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. And maybe God didn't want him to be that. I know people that I sat down with in university, college. They went through school. They hated it. They didn't want to go into that field. They wanted it because their parents wanted it. Or somebody wanted them to be in that field. But they got an education. In many ways. And so God has, sometimes we take paths along the way, that paths of destruction, loss, bad relationships, business deals that happen, that different things that people did. And Pastor Ken, can I just share some of that story? Pastor Ken told me, we were driving once, he said he invested, I can't remember what's true. You correct me. If it was $50,000, $50,000, and cash, and he put it into an investment that sounded good. It's church people, lawyers, and he went ahead and did that, and it turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. And you can't just believe everybody because they're Christian. Amen. If people say, I'm going to vote this guy because he's boring. No, hey, he could be just right off the rail. And so he went ahead, but he got some money back later, a little bit. But it hurt him in many ways. But he learned a valuable lesson. And I thank God for him sharing that because, I believe he should share it more. Talk about it more because that's his testimony and he learned something. I mean, can you imagine? Little old Ken, give him 50 grand. I couldn't give 50 cents back then. I was in Rhema. American money too. I mean, that's something. But I think, that never deterred him from anything. I was leaving here a few weeks ago. He comes to my place and he hands me $500. He didn't know that I needed that $500. I needed it. I used every penny of it, man. Driving down the road. But he go ahead and he gave that. But I seen him give more than that before to people. And I think he gave his vehicle away not too long ago and different things. I mean, different things. I've seen him give. And but I've seen his chest. I looked at it, man, there's a lot of money in there. spiritually speaking. I mean, he's a giver, for sure. Him and his wife are just givers. They just give. I mean, if his wife didn't stop him, he'd give everything away. If I didn't stop him, he'd give the whole church away. he's a giver, though. I'm sure he's got a good heart. Brother Higgins says, bless his darling heart and stupid head. Brother Higgins. He was talking to brother. He was talking to Pastor Ken that then. No, I'm just kidding. And we always kid each other. We have a relationship. We can do that. We lovingly tease each other. And I've never met a person that trusts me, that treats me better like this man. I've never met a man anywhere that would treat me like him. He's my best friend. And I thank God for sending you. I asked God to send him. And we asked God to send a couple just like us, and they sent that wonderful husky couple. God brought him in here, praise God, and do exactly what I would do. They might have the same heart and do what they, so thank God for that. But taking paths, so we do take paths, sometimes a 20-year journey. We never ask God. We ask God, we plan things every year. Oh, it's going to be a great year, but it's our plan, not God's plan. So we got to get the mind of God on what he wants us to do. And sometimes when we go to God, he tells you, listen, put that away, take that off, don't do this. And we get so mad and resentful because God is taking stuff away. No, he wants to free you and put you on a brand new path. The Bible says the path of the righteous is like a freeway. But the path of the wicked is strewn out with all kinds of hindrances on the road. That's what it says over there in the scriptures. So, which he prepared ahead of time. See, God already planned. So he wants us to pray and seek him and find out what those things are. This is what he wants us to do, so that we can know what he already planned for us, that we should walk in them. So he got two scriptures that verify to us that God has a great, wonderful plan. Like, you could bless yourself if you want to. You could go ahead and make a career and do good, and you're God can bless you as far as he can. I remember years ago, and it was 1987, and we had first went to Rhema 86, and Brother Higgin told a story. He said, I was actually in the meeting that year. He says, before the convention at the Tulsa Convention Center, they'd have like 30,000, 40,000 people before in that meeting in one session. But then it started, after he trained people, they started having their own faith conferences. And so he said, I was praying one day, and I saw myself at the convention center. And Jesus took me up high above the convention center. I saw all these people worshiping and praising. And Jesus said to me, you see those guys in the front row of here? He said, those are all ministers. These are my servants. He said, they asked me to bless their ministry. And I want to bless their ministry. I want to do everything I can to help them be successful. But he said, I can't do it because a lot of what they're doing is not in my plan. They're doing their own thing. I can only bless them to the degree that they're in the plan as far as what they're asking for. My hands are limited. I can only bless what I've asked them to. And of course, you could do your own blessing. You can bless yourself, buy your own car, and say, God bless me with it. And then you have a big bill. But if God's paying for it, then thank God for it, right? So that gave me, I thought about that for a long time. And I said, I don't want to go there. He talked about different ministers who was on trips, flying somewhere, and they crashed, and the Lord... They were not supposed to be on that plane. They were not supposed to be going there. They did it on their own and got into trouble. And I began to listen to people, older people, elders like that, that would say things that I'm saying, hey, did God tell me to do this? I've seen people in this city that start churches. I say, God told them. They'll just get up and say, God told me to do this. God said this. It didn't last more than 5 years. And got into all kinds of trouble. And bad enough, the devil attack you, right? When you're doing the will of God. But when you're not doing the will of God, that's even worse. And so we can recover ourselves. So let's go to Jeremiah 33:3. And so this year, we want to ask God what he wants us to do. And you can only seek God. I mean, we all have the Bible. We all can read the Bible. And a lot of times we can't really make sense of it unless God shows us different things. We can read the Bible and apply that to a specific area. Sometimes there's no specific area. He didn't say, like, move to Westford or buy a Chevy. That's not in the Scripture. And so you don't find Scripture there, but God can show you things specifically in your prayer time when you spend time with Him. Okay? So I want you to notice this. Jeremiah 33 says this. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great things and mighty things which you do not know. The hardest thing for us sometimes is not to be arrogant, to say, I know what I want to do. I can do what I want to do. It's my life. When you think about it, really, it's not your life. The Bible says that God, Jesus, bought you at a price. And your life is not your own. It says it in 1 Corinthians. You can Google it or find it in your Bible there. That our lives is not our own. You know, when we come to Jesus and give our life to Him, what a marvelous life that is. He has a better way than we do. So the Bible says, call unto me. And so we have to call on God every single day, every morning. And I want to tell you something. I just want to say something before this. I'll teach this. God has a plan for you every single day. And so we need to go to God every single day in prayer and ask God about that day and ask God for the needs of that day. You don't just say one prayer and it's going to last. You know, you go to God every single day. It's humbling. It's something that you do. So you have to find that rhythm, as they say, in the flow of prayer in your life. They say prayer is like breathing. You do it as needed. No, you do it because you have to do it. So prayer is important for us because we need to stay connected to God. So he says, call on me, I will answer you. God will answer you and show you great things, great and mighty things which you do not know. So he'll show you things. He'll give you answers to things that are hard, that no one can tell. You can't go to anybody in this world and say, hey, can you tell me what God wants me to do? Well, no, that's something that you have to do yourself. Every one of us has to do this themselves. Sure, they can give you different things and tell you things, how they did different things, and you can learn from that. But specifically, you need to do this yourself and go to, be responsible for your own spirituality. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10. 11 and 12. Let's go look at that scripture verse. Holy Ghost will show us different things in our lives. He will show us, lead us. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are sons of God. The Bible says over there that Romans 8:14, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to you. He searches all the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows the heart of the Father. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, He's going to show you the very deep things that no one could ever know. Deep down in your heart, what God put there. Can you say amen? Amen. So notice that in the spirit of man, no one knows the things of man, save the spirit of man. No one knows you like you know yourself. Amen? There's things in your heart that somebody thinks they know you, but you know yourself. The Holy Ghost, I mean, you know yourself in there. This is why there's a gift of the Spirit called discerning of spirits, because you can read the heart of people. It's a gift that will manifest sometimes, and God will give you that. You can't just go ahead and read people's hearts on your own. So verse 11 and 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God will give us He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can know the deep things of God. I want you to notice we use this very scripture many times over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. This is why praying in tongues is so critical for the believer. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues will help you as you go ahead and pray. He says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God." So not when you're praying in tongues, you're talking to God, his heavenly language. "For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit." That means, notice that speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, you're speaking in spirit to God. And God's talking to you. He says that he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries, it means hidden truths. Remember Jeremiah 33:3 says that the things that you do not know, it's the plan that God was trying to get over to you by your spirit. He gives you that in your spirit as you pray. And you have to learn how to do this as you pray with God and as you get to know him and as you follow him and you get to recognize that God's talking to you. And let's go to verse 14 of that same chapter. And let's go ahead and pick it up in the Amplified Bible if we can. We'll see something here because this is critical for us. And you know, you couldn't follow God fully unless we do this because that's in the scriptures. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit," not your head. See, that's why you can just start praying in the spirit right now, but your head has nothing to do with it. You're saying, what's happening? No, this is something you have to do. You have to believe this is actually by faith. You do it by faith. You don't wait for some kind of spiritual feeling to pray in tongues. No, you will yourself to do it. He says, "The Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody." Let's go to verse 15. "What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind. In understanding, I will sing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind." So this is something that you purposely do. You say, "Lord, I'm going to pray over this area. I don't know if I should buy this car. I don't know if I should move there or get this job. It's open for me, but I just don't know. I want to follow what you want to do, so I'm going to pray in tongues right now in the name of Jesus." So you pray in that area. So I'm going to, "Lord, I'm going to pray over this right now." And you start praying in tongues over that area. You might get a witness, you might not, but then again, God's going to do something. He'll open the door, close the door, do whatever. Send somebody over to your house and tell you, get out of town or do something. The Lord will help you. So the Lord has a plan. And he wants us to know the plan that he has for us. And so, you know, we need to start every year, of course, by praying. Praying and seeking his face, seeking what he wants us to do in our lives. And so we start every day. We need to start our prayer lives. So I have a purpose, and that is to get you, all of us, to pray like we should be praying. And so Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 says that God delights in the prayer of the righteous. Everybody say, God delights in my prayer. God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray. God delights in the prayer of the righteous. How many righteous we have? Everyone here that's born again, you're righteous. He said, "I delight in the prayer of the righteous." He wants you to pray. He wants you to start enjoying that time with him. And so it also says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, you just write this down. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer." That's found in the that's found in Psalm 34. The psalmist wrote that. And so Peter quoted that scripture. And why is prayer very important? Why is it important? See, prayer is not something that you do once in a while. Prayer is something you do every day. You have your own time. You spend time with God, whether it's 15 minutes, half an hour, an hour, whatever you can start doing. You spend time with the Lord, and you pray. Prayer is not something you do once in a while. It's a lifestyle. Everybody say prayer is a lifestyle. So we take it as part of our lifestyle. It's like part of your lifestyle of, whatever your lifestyle is. So you have to understand that prayer is so primary, so important to your life, to spirituality, to your success in life. Prayer is primary to your life as far as blessings are concerned, hearing God, seeing the things of God come to your life. Prayer is primary because it's our purpose to pray. God wants us to pray. God wants us to join forces with Him to bring His will in this world. He uses us to manifest His will, just like He uses demons to bring the devil's plans to fruition. So when you pray, you will begin to know the plan of God. You'll begin to know your purpose. You will begin to know your will. As we mentioned, Jeremiah 33, we call unto God, He'll answer us and show us great mighty things which we do not know. 2 Corinthians, as we mentioned, God reveals to us things by His Spirit. Let's go to Acts 13, chapter 1 to 4. Acts 13, 1 to 4. Let's see here what God did for someone. How many people know that Holy Spirit knows what He wants you to do? And He's the only person here, the only person of Godhead that's on earth right now. Jesus is in heaven, God, the Father, but He puts the Holy Ghost here. And Acts chapter 13, 1, and we see here that these people begin to pray and God began to reveal a plan for them. And that's what we need to do this year. It says here that there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with him, Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, this fast was just a morning fast, a day fast, a part of the day. It wasn't like a 40-day fast, a week fast, 7 days. It was just like a few hours. It's like missing your breakfast in the morning. Instead of going for breakfast, they went to pray. So as they fasted, ministered to the Lord. Ministered to the Lord, they're not asking God for anything. They were just ministering to God. They were just blessing Him. They were thanking God. They were worshiping Him. And so the Bible says, the Holy Ghost said, so in the atmosphere, ministering to God and devoting your time to God, God began to speak. So if we want God to talk to us, we need to seek Him by purposely having some time and getting that time alone with God. So these people did it together with God. So the Holy Ghost said, so the Holy Ghost spoke. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Everybody say work. You think God has a work for you? You bet He does. He has a work for you. And where do I have called them? You think the Holy Ghost knows your calling? Yes, He does. He says, I've called them. So God knows the plans of the Father and Jesus about your plans. So He's here to tell you, to put into your spirit what you need to know about your own life. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them and they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the people of God, by the Pentecostal church, by Rhema. No, they were sent by the Holy Ghost. So Holy Spirit, we should be empowered to go by the Holy Spirit. Continue. Can we read the rest of it? Verse 4. They departed to Lucia from thence and to Cyprus. So thank God that Holy Spirit had a plan for them. So I only got a couple more minutes yet, but I want to give you a few more things before we go, because we would like to show you how to use a structural plan to pray. So that when you go to prayer, you'll have a plan when you go there. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. So when you go to prayer, there are two things, there are two purposes when you go to prayer. Number one, you're going to get to know God. You're going to get to know His Word, number one. Number two, and you're going to get to know what He wants you to do. Get to know Him and get to know what He wants you to do. And so, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 11, when Paul was talking to the Lord spoke to him when he encountered the Lord. He said, "Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do?" So those are two things that will happen when you come to God, when you want to follow the plan of God. So we need to have a time and place for our prayer time. You got to find a place in your home somewhere where you can get along with God. So, like I said, prayer is like a rhythm and a flow. Something that you do, something part of your life, becomes a part of your life, something you do every day. It's part of your life. It's not something you skip. Like if you want to skip your prayer, skip your breakfast instead of prayer. You know, but don't forget to comb your hair before you walk out. Make sure you brush your teeth. You don't want to scare people. Okay, so anyway, find a place to pray. So here's something that you need to learn about prayer. And that is that if you're going to learn to pray, you're going to have to find people who pray and who know how to pray. If you understand this, if you ever learn anything in life, you find it from people who already are doing what you want to learn. If you want to learn to be a mechanic, you hang around a mechanic. When I first went to AA, I found what they call old timers. I went to the old timers and I talked to them and find out what they did, what they read, how did they pray. And so I learned from them. So, you know, you have to learn on the job with anything, so you find people who are knowledgeable in some area. So prayer is not only taught, you don't just teach people structure and principles, but you also teach people, you get a strong desire to pray. You get a strong anointing. So you not only get the structure, but you also get the spirit of prayer. And you can only get the spirit of prayer where people have that spirit of prayer. What we call, you catch the anointing of prayer from people. People who pray, and then if you pray with people who pray, then you get something from them. Like, wow, this is awesome. But then you go try it on your own, it's not the same, but you go back to them again, you say, oh, this is great, that's easy, I'll try it again. See, there's a spirit about it, there's an anointing there that you catch from people who pray. So you catch the anointing to pray off somebody. You need to be with people who pray. You follow them, you follow what they do, you see what they do. You look at them, you hear their prayer, you see the scriptures, you hear the scriptures that they use when they pray. And how they talk to God. So years ago, Brother Hagin, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin. The Lord said to Brother Hagin, teach the people how to pray. Teach people how to pray. Don't just teach them scripture. Don't just give them scripture, but show them. Pray with them. Let them see you pray. Let them see you prophesy. Let them see you declare things over your life. As they watch you, they'll learn. They'll catch that. So every year, I know we've done this when Brother Hagin was alive. We would have prayer meetings at Rhema. Camp meeting was always a time of prayer as well. Holy Ghost prayer. And we'd have that. So that's what we did. We prayed. And so I learned how to pray by hanging out with people who pray. When I started praying in the early 90s, the Lord said to me, I didn't know anything about prayer. He says to me, teach people how to pray. And so I began to scurry along and try to figure out how to do this and try to find people who pray. And so I found people like Lynn Hammond, you know, and Mary Alice over in Minneapolis. She was a woman of prayer, and we followed her, went to her prayer conferences. Went to Word of Life over here in Minneapolis and followed Lynn Hammond and watched them pray. And then followed Brother Hagin and those people who pray. Billy Brim, Dr. Brim, and we prayed, we watched them pray, we heard them pray. And so we learned to pray with them, those people. Amen. And so we learned about prophesying in prayer. And so we want to learn here in this church how to pray, how to get that prayer life going. So that's what we want to do. So we're going to close now. It's 2 minutes before 12. I see people getting excited. They want to go home because they catch the bus. So, as we mentioned to you, there's three levels of prayer. One is getting that desire to pray. God can give you that desire. If you don't have a desire, God will give you that desire. So, and develop a discipline and getting that delight, learning to enjoy it. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close here this morning. Did you get something out of this encouragement? And we're gonna have a workshop. I'm going to show you how to do this. We're going to do it together. And those of you that are watching online, if you want to follow us, we're going to have this prayer in this service. We're going to have a service of prayer. So, Father, we want to thank you this morning as we look to you. We want to follow your plan for our lives today. We want to follow what you would like us to do. What do you want us to hear? And so we pray the prayer of consecration this morning. And dedication and submission to your plan, your purpose, and your will. And by faith, we surrender our lives to you. You said in your word in the Philippians chapter 2:13 that it is you, God, that works in us to will and to do your good pleasure. It is you that gives us the willingness to do what you want us to do. And it is you that gives us the ability to complete the plan, whatever plan it is. So we're looking to you to furnish the will, the willingness. And then also you're giving us the grace to follow through on whatever you want us to do, no matter how big it might seem, no matter how bad it might seem to us in our flesh. So we yield to you, Lord. Everybody say, pray this prayer. Say, Lord, I yield to you today. My will. All my plans I put before you. I want you to be number one. Tell me what to do. I want to know you more. So I'm giving you my life. I'm rededicating my life to you. So my life will be aligned with your will, your plan, and your purposes. Thank you, Lord. I make that commitment to be a prayer. I make that commitment to be a prayer person. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to learn. I'm going to enjoy this. This is going to be exciting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you've been watching, you haven't received Jesus, just ask the Lord to come in your life. The Bible says that, you know, he died for you. He said, Jesus, I don't know you. Come in my life. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. Say, Jesus, come in my life. You're the Savior of the world. I receive you right now. Hallelujah. Amen.